Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello, good morning, good afternoon. Hopefully you're having a good commute if you are listening to this while getting to or from work. Wow, this week, a lot of shows going on, and of course the one I have to talk about is Game of Thrones. I have never seen Game of Thrones. I don't know the concept. All I know is that there is a dragon in it. And as soon as I saw that way back when it started, I knew I was out because I couldn't even make it through that How to Train a Dragon movie with my kids. It was freaking horrible. And I left my kids and my husband in there because I don't do fantasy kind of shit like that. This is exactly why I don't understand Harry Potter. Is it linked to the Lord of the Rings thing? Who knows? It's all in the same genre to me. So hopefully if you stuck through all these seasons, the finale gave you some sort of closure. If not, well, then I guess we are all in the same club if you watched the series Lost. Oh my God, what a journey it brought us on. And I freaking hated the finale because I think we all called that it was purgatory in the end. At least I think that's what the finale was. Don't even make me go back and try to remember the numbers because I probably remember it. Wasn't it like 7, 8, 15, 26, 42? Jesus Christ. Couldn't tell you what I ate for dinner last night, but I could tell you some of the numbers from Lost. I can also tell you that we all need to thank and welcome Alana, Christina, Colleen, and Jennifer to the Baddest Apples, the newest Patreon subscribers. Thank you. Welcome. And your fun little stickers are in the mail. If you want to join us on Patreon, remember that's patreon.com/realityvpod. And this week, I am going to dive into some blind items. We haven't done that for a while. And I'm also going to update you on some things I cannot talk about here on the regular podcast. Now, let's see what is going on in the shallow end of the news. Blake and Gwen Stefani were spotted at Knott's Berry Farm this weekend. Oh my goodness, what were they doing there? Well, according to the UK Daily Mail, they were having the ultimate day at the theme park because they are real adrenaline junkies. Now, I'm going to tell you what I thought when I read this. Oh, wow. Real thrill seekers. They're on the log ride because that was the photo. So I'm thinking, okay, right. Way to exaggerate there, UK Daily Mail. And then I Googled Knott's Berry Farm and turns out there are some crazy ass roller coasters. So call me the idiot. And I'm a complete hypocrite as well because I don't know if I've said this before, but when I went to Disney World, I started crying on the People Mover. The thing that does not go up or down, it just circles around the rides. I was absolutely terrified going through Space Mountain. Like, it goes through the ride and it freaked me the fuck out. And I was on there with my daughter, who at the time was only 5 years old, and I jumped over and held her hand as if, you know, she's going to protect me. But I was like, it's okay. I'm right here. It's okay. You don't have to be scared. And really, I'm thinking, dear God, because at one point I looked over. And, okay, I have heard people say this thing doesn't really exist, and I promise I'm not going to go on a major tangent here, but at one point, you look over, and there's like a little Mars scene with a robot dog. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I know I was not hallucinating. I am not making this up. There's some sort of freaky outer space scene there. If you know what I'm talking about, you know how disturbing the People Mover can be. So all I'm trying to say is Blake and Gwen are actual adrenaline junkies, and I am a huge friggin' wuss. Now, there is a new show I want to talk about, and also what I think is the most incredible story to come out this past week, and I don't know why more people are not talking about it, but first, I just have a simple observation that came to me as I was watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this week. I'm convinced that Ken Todd is Rod Stewart's father. I know. Is your mind blown? Do you see it at least? Maybe if it's not his father, it's at least an uncle. They are absolutely related, and you can't tell me that Ken is not older than Rod Stewart. Okay, here it is, the story we must all discuss. A-Rod taking a shit while someone took a photo of him through his bathroom window. If you do not know what I'm talking about, just Google. And I'm going to say Google it because I'm afraid if I post it, it's going to be like some sort of weird revenge porn and I'm going to be sued. There is a photo that was taken by someone. A-Rod's lawyers are trying to figure out who it was based on the location of where the picture is taken. This is like the assassination of JFK and the FBI trying to do, you know, bullet analysis. Someone managed to take a photo of A-Rod taking a shit in the bathroom that he shares, or actually he and J-Lo had their own bathrooms, in the apartment he shares with J-Lo. So he is in his bathroom and he's sitting on his throne. It's taken, so you see his right side. He's wearing a light blue dress shirt and he's playing around on his phone. Now, here's the thing, and I talked about this with Carrie on Moms on the Rocks. I'm a little torn on this because is it really shitty? Is it crappy? No pun intended, kind of, sort of, that someone took a photo of him in a compromising position. Yes. Would I want anyone taking a photo of me on the toilet? Absolutely not. However, if you are in front of a window, which, by the way, is probably easily 15 to 18 feet by 15 to 18 feet. It is a giant square window, like the entire wall. If you're going to the bathroom and you have a huge window there, you got to expect someone at some point is going to be seeing you. And it doesn't look like this photo is really zoomed in that much. Obviously, there is a building that's directly across from you. So maybe, you know, drop a couple thousand from the millions that you have in the bank to figure out some sort of clouding mechanism on the window or blinds or something. Again, he doesn't deserve to have his photo taken and it's pretty nasty, but you need to ask yourself the same question I asked myself and I asked Carrie on Moms on the Rocks. If you were to look out your window, your office window, hotel window, wherever, and you see Alex Rodriguez and or J-Lo on the toilet, do not tell me that you would not take a photo. Now, maybe you wouldn't sell it to whatever media outlet that probably bought it, but you would take a photo and at least send it to a friend, right? That is what I think likely happened. And then you know what happens. Someone sends that photo to their friend and it goes on and on and on. It's like the game of telephone. So whether they're going to figure out who took the photo, I don't know. I'm scared for that person, but I'm just being very honest with you. I would have probably taken the photo too. Again, I wouldn't have shared it with as many people, if anyone, or I would only show it to them in person on my phone. And then, oh God, I don't know. I'm so afraid of getting arrested and being thrown in jail. Oh, which leads me to this show I've been watching. But I just want to ask you to let me know what you would do in that case. Do you take the photo to begin with? Do you share the photo if it is shared with you? And lastly, I just want to throw it out there just in case, you know, it was you who took the photo and you happen to be listening to this. Could you please just scan a little to the left or a little to the right? Because I want to see the rest of the real estate. Like, I want to know what the kitchen looks like. I want to know if J-Lo's a slob. Does she leave her glasses in the sink? I want to know, does she make her bed? Is everything white and cream colored and cashmere and all soft like I think it is? Much like I imagine what hugging Oprah is like. Because you know Oprah, she just feels like a warm cashmere pashmina, just a buttery, soft hug. Maybe she smells like fresh freesia or peonies with a little hint of a butterscotch scone or something. Be pretty incredible. Okay, I have no idea where I got there from J-Lo and A-Rod, but oh, okay, let's talk about Jailbirds. This show on Netflix is incredible. If you are not into prison shows like Lockup and stuff, I actually cannot get into Lockup. It's too intense for me. My fear of getting arrested and wrongly convicted, it triggers me. But 60 Days In, minus the moles and the spies that are in that show, that's exactly what Jailbirds is. They have this thing called toilet talk. They use the toilets like phones. And I'm only, I think, two episodes in at this point because I'm really trying to savor it. I always binge shows and then there's nothing left. And then I spend 2 hours searching for a documentary and I can't find anything. And then I just always end up back watching The Office. But this show, it is something special. It's like a little gem, intense, but not so much Actually, I think 60 days in could be a little bit more intense, especially when they start fighting and they show those scenes. I can't watch it. I have to cover my eyes. And then I tell Dave to just yell when it's over so I can take my hands off my eyes. And then he never does. And then I get mad because I missed something. Then we have to go back. But this show is like that. But this toilet talk thing, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. They do something with the water. I mean, I'm not an engineer. They do something with the water, flushing, non-flushing, something. And then they throw poop kites down there, which is torn up t-shirts that they tie together like Rapunzel style, and they put it down the toilets to send notes to the other people. And somehow plastic spoons are involved, and they pull and they yank and they can't break it. But while they're pulling it up, it's picking up little poop shards and stuff in the pipes. It's fucking disgusting. And of course, are they wearing gloves or anything? No. So they're just pulling it up. And guess what happens? It becomes a love story because there's like the seventh floor is the women's floor and they can start talking to each other. But it's weird because that means all the other floors of people are listening. And you know, there's some real freaking weirdos in there that are probably jerking off to your little toilet talk sexy time. It's freaking bizarre. And I can't stop watching. And here's the thing. At the end of the last episode, again, episode 2 or 3, this guy falls in love with, oh God, I want to say her name is Taylor, but it's spelled really weird, of course. And he falls in love with her. She's in love with him. But what she doesn't know is that he's married. And guess who he's married to? Another prisoner on the women's floor. But the girl doesn't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but it gave me Sarah, Michael, Megan vibes on Love After Lockup. Oh my God. And that show is coming back on my birthday on June 14th, Flag Day. God bless USA. It's coming back, but it's going to be called Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup. Kind of doing the 90 Day Fiancé happily ever after thing. I don't care. I'm all in. So coming in June, actually, I think I'm going to be recapping 3 shows. 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, that's where the American goes overseas and lives in, I think there's one in Israel, one in Korea or something. I'll be doing Love After Lockup and the show that's coming on TLC called Smothers. It looks pretty good. I want to say one of the moms and daughters look very familiar. Maybe they were on Dr. Phil or something. I know their faces from something. Or maybe, I don't know, some sort of cheerleading show perhaps. And one set of mom and daughter, they say they share bathwater. Like one gets out and the other one just climbs right into their dirty armpit vagina water. I don't even think they did that back in the Bible days. I read that book, The Red Tent, back when I used to read books, and I don't remember reading anything about sharing water. Ew, and then think about that. I mean, hopefully the mom has gone through menopause and they're not sharing pure. Oh, okay, I can't even say it. Wow. Whew, it's bringing me to actually an episode of Total Request Podcast that Amanda and I recorded. We watched this episode called Born in the Wild, and this woman gives birth in a tub of water, and things go south, and not like south, her vagina south, things go awry, and it gets pretty crazy. So anyhow, I'll talk to you more about that later. But first, I want to take a quick break and tell you about something amazing that I am so excited about. It is here. The 2019 FabFitFun Summer Box is on sale now. I personally subscribe to FabFitFun with my very own nickels and dimes, so trust me when I tell you I love it. I used to subscribe to some of those sample size product boxes, you know who I'm talking about, but I never used half the samples because they weren't what I wanted or needed, and let's face it, they're little samples. They don't go far. Maybe you love discovering new products or you're looking to switch up your basic drugstore routine. That was me. Maybe you see cool products or trends online and you don't even know where to begin to find them. That's why you must try FabFitFun. They allow you to discover must-have brands at an incredible savings. 4 times a year, you receive this gorgeous, colorful box. It's filled with all the best products, from trendy items like this summer's spiritual gangster Maya kimono to a set of 3 West Elm indigo tie-dye bowls. This past Mother's Day, my sister was raving about them, so guess what she's getting for her early July birthday. It's such a great gift idea because you can choose the items, like I'm choosing the bowls for her, or you can let FabFitFun choose for you. You know I am frugal as bleep, so when I promise you you're going to love something, you can trust me. Here's the best part. You get 3 to 4 items to choose from each of the several items you'll receive. For example, in my summer 2019 box, I chose the Vicks Paula Hermani Lotus Towel, which is a $50 value right there. But I know my daughter would love the Sutra Professional Mini Blow Dryer for her bathroom, so I was able to add it on for just a few bucks more. Now, this past weekend, I used the Kula Organic SPF Makeup Setting Sunscreen Spray. Amazing. You just mist it on your face, you get a hit of hydration plus SPF, which everyone should be wearing daily. It's a no-brainer for your pool bag this summer. I'm telling you, opening this box is like being the birthday girl, but you know that everything in the box is something you are going to love. Every box is bright, colorful, packaged like a gift, and it is stocked, man. I was telling you, you get to choose from all these different things, but get this. There are also items that every box gets no matter what. I'm obsessed with those curly hair tie things, so imagine how I felt when I got a new set of 6 Invisibobble hair ties. I am not sharing that with my kid. Not sorry. You can honestly DM me if you have any questions or if you want to know more, because I will subscribe to FabFitFun whether I am on this podcast or not. If you're in my area, maybe I'll have you over and we can share a glass of wine out of my new Eau de May silicone wine glasses. They come in a classy drawstring pouch, so you can even regift them to me because I love them, and then I'll have a set of 4. You are treating yourself or a damn lucky friend, sister, or mom because you are getting full-size products, no samples of everything. Every box is guaranteed to have over $200 in retail value. This 2019 summer box has a retail value of up to $467. Many products' individual value is way more than the cost of the entire box. Sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. Use my code RTV to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com, sign up, start getting the box for a life well lived. Again, use promo code RTV to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. I will put the link in the show notes. Again, FabFitFun.com. Use my code RTV to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. We're back with another week of 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After. This week is entitled, A Break is Necessary. That's absolutely the truth for Ashley and Jay because, as you know, we don't talk about them because they are liar, liar, sharp entertainment, check on fire. Now, we should probably loop Russ and Paula right in there. But of course, I'm going to talk about them because I freaking hate Pal, but you know who I hate more this week is Elizabeth, and we're going to get to her in just a minute because she enraged me last night. But first, Paula being a spoiled brat per the usual. Now, Russ is going to take a special trip to his parents' house because he just wants to, you know, make his parents feel like shit just like Paula does. Russ is not this innocent little son in this game, which I think his mom thinks he is. You know, Russ's mom looks at him, I'll be honest, kind of the same way my parents look at my brother. You know, like he can do no wrong. Oh, he's been tricked into this. He plays no part in it. No, no. Russ is just as attention hungry as Paula is. So the fact that he's like, oh, poor me, can you just try harder? Can you do all the work? Like it's up to his parents to do what Paula wants so that she will feel comfortable in Oklahoma and he could take a job offer there. The whole thing is fucking crazy. And honestly, I don't even think that he had a real job offer. It's never going to happen that Paula is going to move back to Oklahoma. How many seasons have we been watching this? We all know the answer to this. And, you know, one way to make your wife resent and hate your parents even more is to tell your parents about a major life change. I'm talking about this supposed job offer. Yeah, tell them first before you tell your wife. You're freaking idiot. But Paula is, like I said, the worst. She's not innocent either. Not only does she show up begrudgingly at Patty's house, I forgot the dad's name. He looks like a Darren or something, like an older white hair, aged very rapidly, by the way, Darren. Well, Patty is waiting for Paula in the other room, and you know, she's probably saying several Hail Marys and rosaries just around the clock. Paula shows up and doesn't even knock or ring the doorbell. She opens the door and she goes, hello? Are you kidding me? Who does that? No knock, no ring? And then, you know, Patty doesn't have like the ring doorbell thing because The woman, she doesn't even have any plastic bags. Did you see the amount of baskets she's got going on in that house? The place is brimming with baskets. They were on hooks. They were on knobs. There was some sort of, I don't know what you would call it, like a basket tree, like a Festivus pole with little things coming off and just baskets galore. Now, I posted about this on Twitter and people started talking about some sort of basket art. It's not Longhorn. It's, I don't know, something like that. And I'm just going to say, if those baskets cost anything more than a dollar, maybe $10 if you're going Hobby Lobby, which I really don't like to frequent that often, but I'm not going to get political. She's paying too much for it. And I have a feeling Patty like really takes a lot of pride in these baskets. Okay, now that I'm saying that, I feel like a real ass. You know what? If the baskets make her happy, go for it. Collect your baskets and be happy. But oh, here go hell come if Easter comes and the kids use those as their Easter baskets, because something tells me those are all look, don't touch kind of things. Unless, of course, Patty takes one and bashes Powell upside the head, which would make me very happy because of that Meghan Markle-esque entrance. Anyhow, they sit down at the dining room table, which is, well, I don't know if I'm remembering it as like a blonde wood, maybe a stained oak table. It's just so Midwestern, just classic. So they start talking about the relationship, and I thought it was weird that Russ wasn't choosing to be there. If that were me and my mother-in-law, and let's just say hypothetically we were having issues, I would want Dave there as part of it because he's kind of stirring the pot too, right? And if he's going to take sides one way or the other, like it makes Paola think that he's on her side. And then when he's with his parents, I mean, he sticks up for Paola a little bit, but he kind of leans towards their side. I mean, look, he told them about the job offer, not even his wife. So if he's going to make them get together and talk, he should have been there. Truth be told, I really don't remember a lot of the conversation because I started fan fictioning out with the basket collection. But I did catch something about Patty saying she asked some Latino women for advice. And I just thought it was so adorable yet cringy. But I got to give her credit for that. Now let's go on to Elizabeth and Andre, because I have to get out of my system. I have been simmering since last night. I'm not even kidding you. I could not fall asleep. So let's start with Elizabeth complaining to her sister. I am so annoyed. It's like my dad thinks we owe him something because he gave us this big gift. Oh, are you, Elizabeth? You're annoyed because someone gave you a big gift? You're annoyed that your dad issues your paycheck for your very part-time job, gave you a beautiful, expensive wedding that was planned in like a month. Now you live rent-free with enough extra spending money to afford not only a very nice truck, but those no-chip manicures that we talked about last week. Fuck off, Elizabeth. I wanted to smack her upside her freaking chapped lips when she said that she put months worth of work into the house. This is when her sister was packing the lunches. And I'm just going to say, I think those sandwiches look delicious. If her kids are getting like a gourmet Subway Jimmy John style sandwich for lunch, she better have gotten a damn good Mother's Day gift. But back to Elizabeth, who, God, now I'm starting to think of, what do you think Elizabeth demanded for Mother's Day? Because she's such a hardworking mom. God, fucking can't stand her. So she thinks she is doing her dad a favor by doing work on the house. What kind of entitled brat did these people raise? That is the least Elizabeth and Andre can do. Like, you don't get extra credit for cleaning the house that you're living in for free. You know, if she were my daughter, actually, you know what? You know what Chuck should do? That's her dad's name, right? Chuck. He needs to take Elizabeth's little ass onto Judge Judy. Oh my God. Judy would rip her freaking head off so fast. And if Andre, oh my God, Andre in court, a woman judge, she would end up throwing him out. Like, no doubt about it, because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And Judge Judy hates that. You know, they don't keep her there because she's beautiful. They keep her there because she's smart. He'd be out of there in no time. Like, before Officer Bird could even wake up, she'd be off that bench throwing his ass out. I think he should do it. Let's send him the link. I think it's just judgejudy.com. He definitely has a small claims court case against her easily. Okay, well, oh, it gets worse, right? I'm not even to the part where she calls her freaking dad yet. Oh, my God. So she climbs her freshly manicured ass right into her beautiful new truck. And first of all, way to drive while distracted and pregnant. Real good look for you. This is where the chess game between the family begins. And Elizabeth is very good at it. You can tell she's been doing this since probably she could speak. She calls her dad the day before she is moving out, and she says, Andre can't take your help anymore, so we're moving out of the house, and also, I'm going to need first, last months, and deposit from you, okay? I know it's messy, but thanks. Now, we have said before, we know Chuck is not the greatest U.S. citizen or father. However, I kind of liked his response to her at this point. He points out the obvious, how are you going to pay for rent in this other place if you can't even afford to pay me rent now? And also, you two assholes were supposed to help fix up the house in lieu of rent, but now they're not doing that. So Father Chuckles over here is doubly out. He lost on the rent because he could have been renting that place out to someone else. And he's going to have to pay someone to do the painting and the renovation shit that Moldova and Libby were supposed to do. I would have said, no, I am not spotting you any money. Figure out your own marriage issues, because if me paying your rent is a terrible thing that you don't want to tell Andre about, then you two obviously need some therapy together. And if you would have told her no right there, like, no, I'm not going to help you move out, I'm not going to give you rent to some other place, they would have had to stay there and figure out their shit. But here's the thing about Elizabeth telling everyone in her family about borrowing more money behind Andre's back and telling everyone what a raging meanie Andre is. Elizabeth is not only stirring the pot that we know she does and she creates all this drama, but the things that she is keeping from Andre, they just get bigger and bigger. I think this borrowing money from her dad is like a big thing to keep from your partner. You know, it's not just like, hey, can you lend me a couple $100? We are short on this bill and I don't want to beat up someone's pride or something. I don't know. I've never done that myself, but I could see where maybe. But this is like a major thing. You're moving, at least in my opinion. And, you know, this is my podcast and I'll bitch about them if I want to. It's just the consistent lying and hiding and telling certain people certain things, like this chess game I'm talking about, that is a really bad habit, a bad personality trait, and it's not at all conducive for a strong, united marriage. Now, I've talked about, let's see, family relationships. So here's some interview advice for Andre. Maybe a little LinkedIn article is in my future. Don't wear shorts. Do wear socks. What the hell was Elizabeth doing that day that she could not have helped him pick out anything else to wear? I mean, almost anything else in this guy's wardrobe that we have seen thus far would have been better than what he wore. He had on wrinkled shorts, a real tight-fitting shirt, and loafers. And maybe he could have brought along his politeness skills. Like, act like you want the job. At the very least, act like you want the job and be gracious. And last little tip here, don't let your one question be, can I refuse the job you give me? I mean, that blew my mind. I have watched and been part of a lot of interviews. One of them right off the top of my head, oh God, there was one where a girl wore all different kinds of hats. There were like photos as part of her resume. And there was one guy who just spoke for 45 minutes straight about his acid reflux. So I have seen some things. I have heard some things. And this really, truly took my breath away. And like we had talked about last week, like I assumed, Andre doesn't want to be an over-the-road trucker. It's just too much work for him. And he just wants like an easy 9-to-5 job driving around town. And you think he would have figured out at some point, if he did this trucking school, this training program, no one told him like basic information like this. I mean, if we know this, he had to have known this, right? I mean, someone probably said something to him, but he blew it off the same way he blows everyone off and is like, I'm going to find my job my way, like in Moldova. I mean, my God, I really hope this woman just passes him right up because she really gave no fucks and she was not buying into the charming Moldovan that charmed Elizabeth's pants right off. Now, let's see. Oh, the secondhand shop. Yeah, nice try trying to sell us on that. We know Libby is not shopping there. I mean, she knows her family is going to be throwing her some baby shower and getting her all the shit she needs because, you know, poor little Libby's baby can't wear Carter's last season. It's just such bullshit. I hate the secondhand store scenes. They do it all the time on Teen Mom, and we know none of those chicks are actually buying shit there. But anyhow, in that store, Andre just starts being a dick because, you know, he's entitled and stubborn. And then Elizabeth starts being a dick, too, because she's entitled and an unapologetic brat. Now, Colt and his darling usage, it's gotta stop. I don't know if it bothers you as much as it bothers me, but there's something about it that gives me, it's not even chills up my spine, it's... like, I picture his hands. I don't know why this happens. It just does. When he says, darling, I picture his hands being, like, very moisturized and buttery and, like, not touching firmly, like a soft, like a soft touch. It's just gross. I don't think guys ever should use the word darling. And it's not even darling. Darling. Like, we're in the old saloon days, old Tucson or something. Hey there, darling. Oh, God, just fucking stop it. So Colt and Larissa, they're going out to dinner. Colt and his darling are going out to dinner. He's wearing his corduroys for, like, the fourth time. You can see that they've been worn in and thinned out. And then over a meal at the nicest Chili's in town, Larissa just lays it all out there. And it really is interesting to see the dramatically opposite takeaways from this court case. Because Colt is thinking, it's all water under the bridge, let's share an awesome blossom. But Larissa is thinking, I'm going to make Colt make it up to me by way of a Chanel bag. Right. As if Colt can afford a Chanel bag. I mean, would Colt be driving around in that sweatbox on wheels if he had the kind of disposable income, all of this money to just be throwing around? It's ridiculous. Now, I don't know, God, about this $10,000 that made Larissa just spread her legs for him. She said that Colt told her he had $10,000 in his savings account. And she was like, holy shit, I'm going to be living the Kardashian level American dream. I better get over to Vegas. I don't think he ever had $10,000 in the bank. But I do think there is a possibility that there is a substantial amount of money, still less than 10K, but it's not in the bank. I think that he and Debbie probably have it in some sort of like Folgers crystal can under Cookie Dookie's litter box. You know, they're saving it for a rainy day. Maybe they're going to Thelma and Louise it with Cookie at the wheel. Kind of like, what was it, Toonsis and Saturday Night Live. Go cross country, all three of them together. I don't know if they'd actually have enough balls to do that. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't leave that slot machine and all that shit on their countertop. I don't think they'd do that. Maybe they're just saving up for like a blow-up pool from Costco for their patio. You know, Debbie's probably got some bunions that a nice warm soak would be good for. Colt's probably got like a boil or a carbuncle. I swear there's something called a carbuncle. I'm not going to Google it because I'll get grossed out at what I see. But anyhow, he and Larissa, you know, they're doing great. So they're going to go for a little spa day at a place called Flawless. I mean, I don't know what is up with this place. Sorry, I'm laughing. I know I have one of those annoying airy laughs, but this place was insane. First of all, the lighting. It's like the lighting in every salon. You know when you go and get your hair done and they wash your hair or it's wet or you have your hair in the foils and you look in the mirror and you're thinking, dear God, I look like that little creature in Lord of the Rings. What's his name? Gollum or something like that. Yoda, whatever his name is. You just look like a freak show and you think, how have I been walking around like a hideous beast all my life and my face just not offend everyone? Maybe that's just me. That's what was happening with Larissa's face. Her gums are ginormous. I never noticed how large her chompers were and how gummy her smile is. Her upper lip is a completely different color. And I'm not saying this really to be mean because I actually think Larissa, she's an attractive woman, but something was up in there. You know what it was like? You know that Seinfeld episode where the girl Jerry is dating, she looks different in every lighting? He's in the taxi with her and he turns and all of a sudden they're going through a tunnel and she looks like she's actually dead. That's what it looks like inside of Flawless. But I cannot blame the lighting on the life-sized generic Barbie. This woman that comes in to do Larissa's lips, I gasped aloud like an actual gif, like a... It was certainly not the face you want to see coming at you with a syringe of anything. Even if this woman were coming with me saying this syringe contains the antidote to cancer, I would not trust it. I mean, the woman's face was not even human anymore. She was probably a very attractive woman to begin with, but she ended up looking like someone who had a face transplant. And I'm really not trying to be mean, but she needs to learn how to stop and have a little restraint. If I'm going in there and I want to say, I want it to look natural, I just want a little bit to me and a little bit to her is the difference of like Kate Moss standing next to me. Okay. It just, I mean, in the end, it ended up looking okay from what we've seen so far, but that woman was a lot of look. And with that, let's transition to Chantel and Pedro and Chantel and her boobs busting their way into the apartment. She's got to put those things away. I'm not boob shaming her because I have large boobs myself and I know how to shop for a proper bra. She's got access to Molly. Go call Molly up. She'd love to do a little Instagram switcho changeo promo thing. Get yourself fitted, because if a nurse was bending over me with those big hooters in my face, I'm sorry, I would have to like put my hand up and tell her, you either put those things away or I will. Now, first of all, before we even get to this conversation between Pedro and Chantel, which is just, it's beating a dead horse at this point, but we're going to go over it. I want to ask a very specific question to you who are doctors, nurses, any sort of medical personnel, or someone who wears scrubs to work on a daily basis. Do you come home in those scrubs and immediately sit down and lounge all over your couch while still wearing your shoes? I know people who have worked in hospitals in various positions, and all of them would tell me that they leave their work shoes in the garage and they get out of their clothes pretty much instantly because all the shit that gets on you or near you. So that's the first issue I have with Chantel. Well, her boobs, so that, I guess that's second. So thirdly, my issue is that Chantel says she and Pedro went to go see that immigration attorney last week, but all Pedro wanted to ask was about a divorce. Roll the motherfucking clip, which they did, because that is not what happened. Actually, Chantel wanted to go see the attorney, and then when they played the clip, Pedro was asking about doing business. Can he do business in the Dominican Republic? Can he do it internationally? After that, he asked about getting his green card and divorce and the impact of that. Chantel was the one asking about the divorce because remember, she brought up, what about a prenup? What about a postnup? I mean, the nut doesn't fall very far from the farm, does it? Now, as far as the question, why would you want to go to the DR without me, Pepe? I don't know. Maybe because the last time you were there, Chantel, you refused to get out of the car because you were afraid of his voodoo family. And when Pedro's family was here, River smacked the frickin' IKEA lamp and your mom screamed for ICE to come and take Pedro and his sister away. You remember that? So yeah, there's your reason why. I mean, Chantel, she's not only a snot, she is the ultimate hypocrite in everything that comes out of her mouth. Punta. Fast forward to Pedro leaving early in the morning. Chantel wakes up to drive him to the airport, and Pedro practically jumped out of the damn car before it came to a full stop. I don't think any of us blame him. He is so exhausted from Chantel. And when he finally arrives in the Dominican Republic, his mom and his sister are excited. Of course, we know Pedro is paying for their apartment, but I want to make a point again on this. I know for a fact, as many of you do, that this is a common thing in a lot of different cultures. It would personally drive me crazy, as it does Chantel, especially if I didn't like my in-laws, but I do understand it, especially the exchange rate. It's probably not that much money. And if Pedro is making personal sacrifices, you know, maybe he's not getting certain video games and he's sending it back to his family, I can understand it. I mean, looking at Chantel, I have a feeling she spends a lot more money on herself than Pedro spends on himself. So, you know, cheers to Pedro for being home and free at last. He's free from family Chantel at last. Amen. Moving on to Nicole and Azen. Oh, man, I cannot tell you how relieved I was to see Jessica because I think she should be Nicole's conservator. She has a level head. She's the only one who can speak to Nicole. She speaks very slowly so that Nicole can understand the words coming out of her mouth. And although her new wig is a little crooked, a little thick, and her new mini Jansport backpack was an interesting choice to sport along, maybe that's a new trend I don't know about, she's got some massive Moldovan-sized balls in there because she's about to smack Nicole upside the frickin' fried ponytail. I still don't know why she is Nicole's friend. I don't know what she would get out of a friendship with Nicole. I don't know what anyone would get out of a friendship with Nicole, which is why I am still convinced that Nicole's family is paying her. Just go have a drink with Nicole, try to get some intel on what scheme she's cooking up next, and maybe we'll give you time and a half if you can snag May's passport, deliver it safely to Robley's house before she tucks her grandpa husband into bed. I don't know. And you know what? Maybe if they're not doing that, anyone know family Nicole? Let them know the plan, because I really think Jessica would be down for it. Frickin' Nicole. God. I love when she said that she wanted a glass for her beer. Like, oh, she's so fancy. She's classy now. She's practically the Countess of Morocco. And the bartender being nice. Oh, she's nice because she's getting me a glass. Yeah, like Nicole is going to tip her better because she got her a glass. Nicole doesn't know how to tip. Maybe she just rounds up to the next dollar and is that asshole that's like, keep the change. Now, as much as Jessica, you know, she's trying to work Nicole different angles, trying to get information about Azen not only being a scammer, but cheating on her. Cyber. Well, that doesn't work because Nicole resists. She zips her lips. She defaults to that little kid smile that she does, which drives me crazy. You can see Nicole has used that technique since she was younger. You know, just smile and do that little kid May smile and people just melt and let her do what she wants to do. Now, my favorite part of all was where she told Jessica that Azen and her just cannot wait to be together. They're going to go to Grenada. They're just dying to be in the same place with each other. Well, I went back to the week before's episode when she was talking to Azen. And I'm pretty sure his exact words were, yes, that should work. Not quite the lustful declaration of love, Nicole dear, Nicole darling. Well, with that, we wrap up another week of 90 Day Fiancé. Thanks for listening. Please remember to subscribe, share, leave a 5-star review. It really helps me out. Hopefully I see you over there on patreon.com/realitytvpod. Amanda and I are bringing you Born in the Wild this week on Told Request Podcast, probably one of my most favorite episodes yet. That's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And remember to check out Moms on the Rocks. This week, Carrie is sharing all about the ultimate girls trip, family trip location. And I'm not going to lie to you, I started looking up flights just this morning, and it is a lot cheaper than I thought. So check that out to find out where. Check the show notes for links to the Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter, and my favorite sponsor this week, FabFitFun. It really is an incredible box. So check it out. It's a great savings. And until next week, stay salty.